Moncrief on News Talk.
There are certain traits that that people value in others, and other traits that they particularly despise: rudeness or a lack of empathy. For Jennifer Horgan, it's meanness. She says you can say anything you like about her as long as you don't say she's tight. But this is an Irish thing, not a Jennifer thing. Jennifer, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Is it a particularly Irish thing, do you think, that we abhor meanness particularly?
Well, I'd love to hear from other people, because I think it is. And my experience, like I lived in England for a good while and lived in Abu Dhabi, and I felt it kind of marked us out as different, particularly to English people. Like, that's obviously just my experience, limited experience. But I feel like we just have this absolute fear of being seen to be stingy or scanty, you know?
Yeah. And now, weddings are an interesting one in that there's expectations here. Like, basically, if you're going to a wedding and it's a big fancy wedding, you're paying for your seat. Whereas if an English person comes to your wedding, they might, you know, chuck a tenner in a card and not think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. So, like, when I was living there, I went to a wedding and six of us went. We were all colleagues, and we put in £30 each. So it was £180 for the six of us to go to this. It was a pretty fancy wedding, like stately home kind of wedding. Oh. And I was really uncomfortable. Like, I couldn't understand. But that was just the way it was done. And I don't know, it's like, at the time I sort of thought, well, like, geez, that's really stingy. You know, I much prefer the way we are in Ireland. But actually, I'm wondering, have we taken it too far? Do you know, like, there's such an expectation. It's not just weddings, it's communions and confirmations. And it's like that, like, innate fear of being seen to be stingy has kind of ballooned into something a little grotesque. That's probably a stretch, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Communions are just about money. Children are always asked out after communions, how much did you get?
Well, do you think you would write a communion card for a child and put nothing in it? Would you be comfortable doing that?
No, I wouldn't dream of it.
You couldn't, could you?
No. Yeah, they throw it back
in
your
face. But I
don't
know, maybe other people do it. I'd love to know, because I was wondering, maybe it's like, maybe there are differences by county, you know, maybe like more religious communities might actually still do that. And I'd love to know if they do, or if they give like holy medals or statues, or if there is more of a sense of religion, you know, there might be in other places. But certainly my experience, like, I'm even nervous about putting in 20, which I think is loads for an 8-year-old. Like, they've no idea, they've no sense of money. I think, like, €20 is a lovely gift. €10 should be lovely. Nothing should be acceptable. You still went out and bought a card and you're thinking of them and you're marking the occasion. But, like, it's that fear of not being seen to kind of be generous, I think, is just kind of going a bit mad.
Yeah, and people, going back to weddings for a minute, people would not go to a wedding rather than, you know, go and not pay what they thought was the requisite amount.
Yeah, I think so. And absolutely, like, when you're in your sort of 30s, I suppose now is when people are going to a lot of weddings, you might get like 10 invitations in the post and you're going to have to decide, you know, how many you can afford to go to and who you're going to pick. And there is just something really sad about that, isn't there? Like, if you genuinely want someone to be at your wedding, you want them to be there because you're friends and you care about each other. And how awful is it that you would actually not go because you'd be too embarrassed? And you would be. And like, I went to, you know, I remember weddings I've been to, and there was one wedding in particular, and I didn't give them the card on the day. And then it kind of rolled on. I was like, geez, I still haven't given that card. And I mean, it was a real weight. Do you know what I mean? I felt really guilty and embarrassed about it until I did hand over the card. So that's a whole, and I mean, weddings, they're so expensive anyway, with, you know, you're buying your outfit, you might be paying for childcare, people are having weddings abroad, which is just takes it to a whole other level. So they're just becoming kind of impossible, I think. And particularly we're seeing as well, like, more and more people are borrowing, you know, it went up by billions last year, the amounts that people are borrowing. So people are under pressure, and yet they're still kind of trying to keep up with those unreasonable expectations.
Another facet of this is, if you're out for dinner with people, And then the and then the bill comes, and then there has to be this big no, put your money's no good here kind of, you know, row about who's going to pay.
Fighting at the till and people sneaking up to pay secretly before the bill comes. And then you're like, and the thing is, like, as much as we might be annoyed by scantiness, like, over generosity is difficult as well, because you would live then with that until the next time you see them. And then you'd want to make sure you got ahead, and it just becomes, it does become ridiculous. It becomes comical. It's almost like you're better off before you go out for dinner, sitting down and deciding, what are we doing? Are we going to split the bill? Or, you know, which is, I don't know.
Yeah. No, of course, the thing is if you said to yourself, okay, if Tom really wants to pay the bill, let him off, pay the bill. I'm under no obligation to pay him back for this. But then Tom will go, I paid for dinner the last four times. And, you know.
Tom would not forget.
He wouldn't forget. No.
No. So there's a whole lot going on there, I think, with money in friendship, even in close friendships, you know. It's kind of, I don't know, we're still awkward around it, aren't we?
No, and this isn't, because you've been reading some stuff about, this doesn't seem to be a recent thing that we don't want to be seen to be mean.
Yeah, I found this beautiful book. It was published really recently in Cork. It's a book of Don Uckle, so Poetic Epigrams. And this is the first translation into English. So it was collected in like 1921, I think, was the first collection. And it goes back to like the 17th century, sayings we would have had in our communities. And so much of the book is about money. It's about greed and miserliness and generosity. And it's basically saying, like, that the worst shame is to be seen to be scanty.
Hmm.
Like, there's one that's like, what is it? I have it here. So, fierce fratricide, generosity nullifies.
Jeez.
So as long as you're generous, fratricide, it's okay as long as you're generous, you know? So it's like there's a real fear of it. And I, like, hospitality, I suppose, is another side of that. But that you would open your door and you would give. And there was a kind of sort of, there was almost a shame with being wealthy, you know, like anyone who kept their money for themselves was looked down upon.
Yeah, but you hear that, but you do hear that a lot about people that, you know, oh, they're wealthy, but they're as tight, that's why they're wealthy, kind of thing.
So that attitude lingers here, doesn't it? And maybe it's the kind of begrudgery thing as well, that we call it begrudgery, but maybe it links back to that old discomfort with wealth, you know, that we didn't think it was right on some level, that people should share. And I suppose Catholicism as well played its part. I always remember that one story of, you know, the widow who gave her last pennies. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
But, you know, that idea that, you know, if you give, if you're generous, then that is the best kind of trait in God's eyes. And I think that lingers for us as well. So, but maybe it's just being warped out of proportion these days.
Yeah. Now, someone has texted in to say, I bought my friend's daughter a beautiful cross chain and matching earrings for her communion. Cost me 80 euro, 80 euro. Oh, her daughter came up and said, you forgot to put money in my card.
Wow.
She's never got a present since. I know, parents never corrected her either.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah.
And that's like, we're doing that child a disservice, aren't we? It's not the child's fault.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But that was that's the kind of level of expectation now. Someone else says, I'm invited to a wedding in September with my 80-year-old mother. Just accommodation and a gift and the petrol to the wedding, 6 hours round trip. It's going to cost in excess of 1,000 euro before we arrive at the church. And I'm not buying a new outfit either. And that's just to go to a wedding, Cassia Grant. God, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely mad. Now, I mean, I would prefer the £30 in the envelope.
Somebody else though says, can Jennifer explain the difference between frugality and meanness? I'm frugal and somewhat discerning about spending. If I don't like the family member, they get F all. 20 euro for communion, 50 for confirmation, 200 for a wedding, that's it. I don't think that's meanness. That sounds about average, really.
Oh, that's very average, I would say, yeah. 20 communion, 50. I think a lot of people are starting to put 50s into communion cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, 50 for those and then 200 for the wedding. That would be, I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah. Somebody else wants to know, what's the most appropriate thing to do when the bride and groom have asked that gifts are not given? Now, do they mean no presents or just give us the lolly? What exactly?
I'd love to know the answer to that too. Does that mean just cash? Yeah. Or does it mean?
I'm guessing it's just cash. Really, just the old envelope with it. The amount of nothing strikes me as well. If you're like, you know, most people don't carry cash nowadays. But if you were, a very clever robber, that's where the cash should be. There'd be like thousands at most weddings. You just need to know where they're stashing it. The other thing as well is the other thing is when people do decide to split the bill at a dinner, say, and how they split it. Now, from your point of view, Jennifer, is just splitting it evenly the easiest and fairest thing to do, even if maybe somebody didn't drink or somebody didn't have two desserts?
Yeah, I think, like I said in the column today, I think that it's totally normal across the water that they would just itemize the bill, right? And we've never done that here. I think here it's usually just split it. I do think it's changing because more people are not drinking when they go out. And I think it's decent, really, to notice that. Like, I think there's something very unfair if there's somebody drinking water all night and the rest of people are, wine is so expensive in restaurants. So I think it's unfair not to say for the person not drinking, you know, you just pay for your food. I think that would be my feeling. But I could be completely off what most people think or do. I know some people will say, well, if you're going out and if you've decided to go out and dine with people, that's kind of, then you should just be happy to split the bill. Like if you don't want to do that, you should stay at home. I think that's overly harsh, particularly with alcohol. Like, I wouldn't want to be like, oh, you had a steak and I only had pasta. I think that's pushing it. But if it's like bottles of wine, like that can be really expensive.
Yeah. Someone texts in to say, under Breton law, a pleb who managed to grow his wealth could elevate his status by becoming a brijou, a kind of guest house owner who offers great hospitality to anyone requiring it. They had special rights and perks, and it was also legal to injure someone who refused you hospitality. Stinginess has been a raw nerve in Ireland for millennia. Some things never change, says Tara. There you go.
Yeah, isn't that? It's fascinating, isn't it? It's like it's deep down in our psyche, I think.
Yeah, but I think though there's a difference between being failing to be generous and being stingy. Now, maybe it's depending on your point of view, and it's kind of a subtle thing. But like, no one likes anyone who's mean, because it kind of doesn't speak well of them.
No, and I think you're right. I think there are differences, and it's also to do with the person and the person's kind of circumstances and everything else. But I would say it's a thing that many of us are fearful of being called.
Yeah.
You know, I think it. Yeah.
Javier, who I assume is Spanish, texted in to say, in Spain, in wedding invitations, many people put in the bank account number.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
There you go.
No.
That's the greatest con ever. You could just say, and then just at the last minute go, nah, we've decided against it and you're not getting the money back.
Yeah.
Jennifer, thanks a million. That was Jennifer Horgan there, teacher and columnist there. Another texter says, I witnessed parents of someone who got married say how generous a particular family were because they have a cumulative gift. It was from the parents and all the adult children and added up to the average per person that anyone would give. But because it was a big figure, they were very impressed. OK, that's maybe a clever way of doing it. My friend's daughter got baptised last year just so she can make her communion this year for the money. I grew up in the UK, says another texter. Wedding and communion gifts here in Ireland are absolutely mad. It's just mad that people expect some large amounts, says Geraldine. And someone else says, I used to work on a three-man crew. We would take turns to buy little things like coffee, etc. One lad used to request that we did not buy him the treat, but just give him the money instead. Well, you know what he should do? Enter the cash machine.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.